prepare for an enchanting journey into the world of animal communication as I welcome the extraordinary Natalie Zerato to the show. Natalie, a gifted animal communicator, unveils her captivating story of discovery and honing her unique ability to bridge the gap between humans and their animal companions. With warmth and wisdom, Natalie shares insights into the various ways humans can communicate with their animals and offers practical tips for listeners eager to deepen their communication with their furry friends. Join us as Natalie masterfully illuminates the profound bond between humans and animals, reminding us that mastery blossoms when we recognize the importance of warmth and messages in our lives. Additionally, she provides invaluable insights into recognizing and supporting animals as they transition into the next realm. Get ready to be inspired and enlightened as we embark on this enlightening journey into the heart of animal communication. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery with Jane Marquis, ND and Natalie Zerato. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Natalie.
Hi, Jane. I'm so happy to be with you today.
Excited to have you. So we are talking animal communication, and I just love hearing about this. I spent quite a few hours with my horse when he was colicking the other night, and I thought he would talk to me, but I'm like, I need some tips. So we're going to learn more about why you were so interested in it and what is the process. What happens when you connect, and some tips if someone wanted to try. So yeah, just start and then we'll take it from there.
Well, I guess going back, Jane, from my early days when I was a young child, I was always very in tune with what was going around me, but it was almost looked at as if I was too sensitive. So it wasn't as if someone said, oh, you're really so in tune and it's so wonderful that you're connected to what's around you. It was more of a negative connotation, like, oh, you're too sensitive. So from an early childhood, I was certainly aware of what was going around, but it wasn't really until I got into my early 20s that I started searching more for what this connection meant and more understanding around the word of being intuitive. So there were specific experiences on my journey that took place that got me to the level of communication that I am now. And so for me, the communication piece really started when I got my original Reiki attunement. What I noticed in those sessions was I actually was starting to feel things and have different sensations in my body that I knew I wasn't having prior to that Reiki session. And I reached out to my instructor and I just said, you know, this is what's happening. And I really feel like the animals are communicating with me. And she said, yes, absolutely. They are communicating with you. And so that's sort of really what began my actual communication.
So that was through Reiki. When you were attuned by taking a course, right? And that I've taken Reiki too. And at that time you get attuned and then you started to communicate more with animals at that time.
That's right. Yes, that's right. So as soon as I had my attunement and I was doing my case studies, because of course you have to practice any new skill. So as I was practicing, I was just getting so many different things coming through. And I remember doing a healing session on a dog who had some skin issues. And all of a sudden I saw this stainless steel bowl and it was burning the mouth of this dog. And I could feel my lips almost like a bad sunburn and my whole face started to really burn. And I just said to the owner, you know, I really think that the stainless steel bowl is affecting the dog? And she said, yes, I do feed him in a stainless steel bowl. I said, okay, switch to glass. I haven't got the communication thing totally figured out yet, but I think you should switch to glass. So I finished the healing and she let me know that she did switch to glass, and it made a huge difference for that dog.
How interesting. So you actually felt the burning in your body.
Yes. So different communicators have different strengths as far as the way that animals communicate with us. They're really beautiful in the way that they share information. They have a sense of knowing how we are going to understand that information best. So some people receive more images, some people receive more senses, sometimes it's smell, sometimes it's taste. So the animal will take a scenario that they're trying to communicate with you and put it into almost like your language of how you're going to be able to understand it so that you can either keep it for yourself if you're doing it for your own animal, or to share it with whomever has asked you to do the session. So they're so brilliant that way, in the way that they help us to communicate with them.
How interesting. So it's not like actual words come. It's more of a feeling.
That's right. So most of the time it's pictures and feelings in my body. So if an animal, let's say, has a sore left leg, when I tune in, my left leg will immediately start hurting, and it will hurt in the area that that animal is having the concern. And depending on the level, whether it's a recent injury or whether it's more of an arthritic pain, then they share in the different sensations so that I can best communicate how severe or uncomfortable that animal is. Now, of course, you have to take into account some animals are more stoic than others. So that's where the role of the communicator has to really understand the way that they receive the messages in order to communicate that accurately to the caregiver of the animal.
Right. So how do you know when you've connected with an animal? Does the caregiver give you a photo and then you connect in a way? Is it
That's pretty close, Jane. So most times people will say, you know, I'd like you to connect with my animal, and then from there it's either decided that it's a in-person session or it's a distance session where we do it through email. There's been a lot of email sessions in the last few years, but in-person sessions are starting up again. And so once that's established, then I would say if it's a distance session, I need the name, the age, and I need current pictures of the animal, as well as gender, whether it's a male or a female. And that goes the same too, even if the animal has passed, then I still need the name, the age of passing, the date of passing, and then current pictures that they're like the most recent pictures to prior to their passing. And I always tell people in that scenario to share as many as you'd like to, because sometimes our animals don't look the way we had hoped for them to look in some photos. So sometimes in that scenario, people do like to send photos of their younger days, and that's okay too. So that's the information that I ask for prior to starting a session.
Right. And it's interesting that you communicate with animals that have passed. And I remember you telling me that animals transition to the other side very easily and don't see it as a big deal, not as big a deal as we make it out to be.
Yeah, that's a really good point to bring up, because animals are so much, not more educated, but more aware of the life transitions and the journeys that we're on. And so for them, they're often in full awareness of their path and their journey that they're on. And what happens sometimes as humans is we can actually get in the way of that, because we are so loving, and the animals in our lives are our children on many levels. And so when an animal in our life is getting ready to transition, then we become fearful because their physical presence will no longer be with us. And for a lot of people, they hold on to the energy of their physical presence when they were here with us, and they sort of have a hesitation or almost a disbelief that they can still connect with that animal in spirit form. And so most times animals are aware and knowing of their transition. And the only time I've come across fear in an animal of transition is when the caregiver themselves has put fear into that animal. So whether it's fear that the animal is leaving and they're going to be alone, or whether it's fear that the animal actually doesn't think that the owner is going to be okay without them there. But fear is always the common denominator in that situation. And typically it's stemming from the human.
Interesting. Yeah. So if we were more loving about it and trusting, I guess is the best word, it would be easy.
I think trusting is a really good word, because it's hard to think that you can connect with your animal when they're not still here. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, in the physical form, you can see them and you can touch them. But if you think about an animal that's been in your life previously that is no longer in your life, if you just sat down and took some quiet time and really thought about that animal and the energy that that animal brought, then I would imagine that feelings would start coming through. You may be able to touch their hair. You may be able to feel their warmth or visualize their favorite spot where they would hang out, or an activity that you did together. So oftentimes it just takes the person to take the ego out of the way and really just think about that animal from a heart space. And often you will get sensations and feelings back. And at that point, you just have to realize, yes, this is my animal that I am feeling, and just removing that self-doubt is the best way that you're going to reconnect.
Right. And I imagine that there's lots of scenarios, but sometimes I wonder if certain animals don't have soul contracts with us, or come, you know, into human or our existence and out again more than once with us.
Yes, definitely. So animals sometimes do have soul contracts where they re-enter our lives, which is really a beautiful thing. And the dedication that is there for us on that journey is predetermined before we're here. And it's really wonderful that we have that companionship and that relationship where they do keep coming back into our lives. That doesn't happen as often as an animal comes into your life for a specific journey and then they transition out and go on to a different journey next. But certainly there is sometimes where you do recognize and feel, people will say to me, like, this cat feels like a cat I had 20 years ago. And sometimes it is that original animal coming back in. The other thing that animals can do, which is so interesting, is even if it's not the same soul, then an animal, a past animal, can take over a physical body of a present animal in your life. And so you can feel that animal coming through for a short period of time. So even though that animal is not your past animal, your past animal can visit through another animal.
How beautiful. And possibly give us some messages that need to be given.
Yes, and they always have messages for us. They're in our lives for our journeys and our lessons, and they're here to help us. And it's just a matter of being able to really listen and focus and appreciate and acknowledge the lessons that they are here to teach us.
Right. There's a humbleness in that, isn't there? Yeah, so beautiful. So what else can you tell us? I know you've got great things.
I guess maybe some people are curious to know, how do I communicate with my animal? And I will tell you, communicating with your own animal can certainly be more challenging than communicating with another animal. So I typically, when I do a session, I always say to the person, don't tell me anything about the animal. Let me tune in and let me just let them share, because they share so openly. And oftentimes what happens is they will share what the caregiver is thinking. And then near the end of the session, I will review any questions that the caregiver has at that time. But that's a really important piece, that when you tune in with either your animal or someone else's animal, you really want to think about nothing. And whatever comes to your mind that wasn't in your thought is typically from the animal that you are trying to communicate with. Like I was saying, most animals communicate through images and senses and taste and whatever ways that we would understand best. But our own animals sometimes have a funny way of communicating with us. And being that they're our own animals, we know them so well. So it's sometimes difficult to determine, well, was that my animal talking to me? Or did I just know that about my animal because I know my animal so well? There's a lot of people who absolutely love and adore their animals, and they do know them so well. So that's a tricky piece. And I will share that I have a horse, my own mare, communicates with me differently than any other animal I've communicated with. And I've communicated with many, many animals all over the world. And they all share very similar, except my own mare, who uses words to communicate with me with. So there was a long time where even I was like, this is just my own thought. But when it came down to it, I had to really just put my ego aside and my self-doubt aside and just say, I acknowledge that this is the way that you're speaking to me and I'm listening, because the animals need to have a safe space in order to feel comfortable to communicate. And so offering them that safe space is most important when you are trying to communicate. Yeah. So I think if people are looking to communicate with their animal, what they would do is sit down or stand or lay down, however you feel most in a meditative state, and just think of your animal or hang out with your animal if you're in the same space as them, and just allow them to share anything they want to come through. And so sometimes it might be, maybe they'll show you a leash, a picture of a leash, and then you'll say, oh, I know you want to go for a walk. Or maybe all of a sudden your stomach will growl and you'll say, oh, you're hungry. So just sort of focusing on those little signs that come up. And the more you do it and the more you acknowledge it, the faster and the more it will come through.
Right. So it's acknowledging and accepting the information, so you're not shutting it down.
That's right. That's right. Because sometimes they share funny things and you're like, does that make sense? But then they're going to be like, not sure if they can feel comfortable to share. Yes. Holding a safe space and inviting them to share, and then just acknowledging anything that comes through. Because even if it doesn't make sense in the moment, it may make sense in a week from now. It may make sense in a year from now. So I always like to write everything down. I do transcripts for all my readings. And that way people can go back to the readings and things will come up in time to come. So like I said, whether it's, you know, tomorrow or a week from now or a year from now, things always, always come up. And it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Anything else before you share some stories? Any other tips?
I think it's important to remember that not all communicators communicate the same, and not all communicators get the same information. So whatever information is coming to you when you're practicing, just go with it. And whatever senses come to you, just go with it, because it's so individualized. And even the information, even if there's two communicators that communicate to the same animal, this space in which the communicator creates that space, the animal may share differently there too. So I think that's really an important detail. I also wanted to touch on one more really important aspect of communication and energy healing, which I run into often, is there seems to be a bit of a gap where people are so happy to communicate with their animal present, and then they're so excited and looking forward to communicating with their animals that have passed. But there's this area in between where our animal is coming to the time of transition. And in that space, there's a lot of emotion and a lot of energy. And what a lot of people don't realize is that you can get assistance within that span, within that time period, so that it doesn't have to be the person making the decision saying, okay, yes, I realize my animal is older and unfortunately now the time has come for our journeys to part in this physical world. But what the person, what the owner or the caregiver can do that offers so much more ease for the animal and the situation in general is you can actually do some Reiki energy work, and I call them end of life transition sessions. And so a lot of people will come to me and they'll say, you know, my animal is quite old now and they're not as mobile as they used to be, and I feel like this is really wearing them down. And so sometimes checking in with that animal's like, good to go for another couple months. Or sometimes they're like, yes, my body is very painful and I am ready to go. And so helping to communicate that to the caregiver is so beneficial because the animals give us so much in this lifetime that we really should listen and respect the animal when they are ready, when their journey is finished with us. Now, we have to be very careful and mindful here because we do have so many different ways to keep our animals comfortable here, and different people have different thoughts and opinions on this. But where I fall in is if your animal is communicating that they are ready, then that is really the most important decision that you should listen to and acknowledge. And so by doing an end-of-life transition session with Reiki and incorporating crystals, and you can do so many different things, but assisting them in that moment on a deeper level than just taking them to the appointment or having that practitioner come into your house, it makes such a big difference. And it really provides a lot more closure for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. Such a beautiful thing. Have you been aware of how that affects the animal too? It must make it so much easier for them.
It's very helpful because although the animal is knowing what is going on, it helps to keep the animal comfortable during that time. And sometimes they have like something they want to do before they go, or they've got a message for somebody before they go. And so those things are really important to honor the animal with and allow them to fully complete their journey here.
That's amazing to share that, Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you.
What else? Do you have some stories
I do have a few stories. Now, what's amazing is I'll have people say to me, oh, you communicated with my animal 5 years ago. I can't believe what they shared. And I don't remember what they shared because for me, I'm just the conduit between. So I just connect the animal and the caregiver, and the information flows through me and I put the transcript down. But when it comes back to it, my memory retention of what actually is shared, it's not for me and it's not mine. So I don't hold on to it and it doesn't get retained within me. So I have to go back and look. And so if I'm sharing something, I'll have to go back and say, okay, yes, this is something that I'd really love to share and remember those things. But for people who I've communicated for, I'm so blessed to have done it. But as far as remembering it, I don't often remember specific scenarios, but I do have a couple stories here that were really profound sessions. And one was very recent as well. So I'd like to share those with you today, Jane, and everyone listening.
Yeah, I'd love that.
So the first story was a sweet little dog who was very old, and his owners knew that his time was coming, and they were so in love with their dog, as many owners are, and they were just so fearful of his passing and so hesitant, and they didn't want to not have him in their lives. And so we worked every couple of days. We were doing communication sessions and we were doing Reiki sessions to make sure that everything was communicated between everyone involved. And on one of the communication sessions, he said, "Batman." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know what Batman means. So I wrote back and I put the notes down and I said, "He said Batman, and I don't know what that means, but maybe it means something to you." And the owners wrote back and they said, "No, it doesn't mean anything to us." And I said, "Okay, no problem. Let's just wait on it." Anyway, so then he was put to rest. It was about a week later after that session, and they were sitting on the bed and they had his ashes between them where he would sleep. Mm-hmm. And they were both so upset, and they just said, "Let's just turn on the TV." And so they turned on the TV, and there was a home show on, and this big symbol of Batman came up, and it was on the screen for seconds. And they just stood there, like sat there, because they were on the bed. They just sat there and stared at that Batman symbol. And for them, it meant so much to them to have this symbol of Batman, and for it to all come through and be put together. And what she said was, it just gave them so much hope. And she said, "There's just no more words. It was just so amazing."
Right. So beautiful to know, you know, that, well, they saw that before it happened. So it means that there is no death, really.
Yes. Yes.
It's and so that, reassuring, isn't it?
Right. That's right. That we just shift and enter a new journey, and we can connect back at any point. Mm-hmm. I do have another one, Jane. This is just a dog I read about 2 weeks ago. I had read this dog a couple years ago, and she reached in a couple weeks ago and said, "I'd like you to do another reading. We've grown so much since the first reading, and we've worked through a lot of the behavioral problems that she was facing with him." And she just like was so in love with this dog. So I said, "Sure, absolutely." So I tuned in with him and I was doing the reading, and he said, "The bedtime routine is so important." And I said, "Okay, is this your bedtime routine, or is this the bedtime routine that you do every night with your caregiver?" And he said, "No, this is the bedtime routine I do every night with my caregiver. And if she's not here, I don't want anyone to duplicate this bedtime routine, but I want that person to tell me how many more nights it's going to be until she returns." So I send off the transcript from the reading, and she writes me back and she said, "When I got him, he would always sleep on the floor. About a year ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she said she invited him to sleep on the bed with her. So that was when he began to sleep on the bed with her. So she is now breast cancer free, which is wonderful. But that bedtime routine, he knew, was so important to not only him, but her as well." Mm-hmm. And so he was just offering her so much support in that. And so for her to know that he really, that bedtime routine meant so much to him, she was so thankful for.
Lovely. And you mentioned telling them how many days you're away. I always do that with my dogs.
Yes, it's so helpful.
Several times I'm like, "Okay, I'm gone for 5 days."
Yes. Yeah. And it's so helpful, because our animals, you know, they would love to come with us most times, yeah, but sometimes they can. And so it's hard for them when we're away from them. And he was so funny, because he's like, "No, I don't want someone to try and do what she does. I just want to know how many nights till she's back." It was so sweet. It was really beautiful.
I wanted to share a story, because you've done a reading for a couple of our horses, but one of them had come and she was having a little bit of trouble adjusting to her new life with us. She had like a few behavioral issues. Anyway, you helped. Oh, and she had some pains in her body, and you were quite accurate with the pain. But at one point you said that there was a conversation that she has overheard, and that that conversation was that my husband was probably going to be the one to take her on as his horse and ride her, and that she agreed that that was a good idea. And you gave that in the reading, and it was an actual fact that we had had that conversation. And there's four of us, right? It could have been any one of us, but you accurately got that it was my husband. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Yeah, they're always so excited to share. And then when they know that you're connecting with them, they're just like, oh my goodness. And they just want to share everything. They're so excited because someone is understanding and listening. And yeah. My husband has this ongoing joke because we'll often be out and the animals will always just run up to me. And he always just says, yep, there they go, just running up to you.
Do you take your notepad?
It's hard. I really have to focus when I'm tuning in. So I'll even say to people, don't text me a picture of your animal or else they're going to start talking and I'm not going to be ready and prepared in session. So I always say to people, send me an email, send me pictures through email. That way I can open it right when I'm ready and I'm fully prepared, because I don't like to cut them off or to miss something that they have to share because it's all so valuable.
Right. And do you sometimes get messages from these animals that run up to you, or maybe not prepared?
Yeah, definitely. There's like a few things that come out here and there. It's important that, you know, when you're communicating with someone else's animal, that the permission is there. But every once in a while, like something will slip in, or I'll be driving and I'll see a dog and I'll be, oh, my hip is hurting, you know, like I know it's coming from those animals.
Yeah. So beautiful. How do people get in touch with you, Natalie, if they wanted to have a reading with their animal?
So they could reach me at regeneratingtouch.com. That's my website. And the email is regeneratingtouch@gmail.com. And I'm certainly happy to communicate with anyone's animal. Every animal has something different they want to share. And I just get so excited by being able to communicate on behalf of the animals for their caregivers. So I just love it so much. And I'm so blessed that I'm able to do it. And I'm thankful. So absolutely, if someone wants to reach out to me, I'm definitely reachable by email and my website. And I'm happy to chat with your animals.
Thank you so much. That is really valuable information. And just thank you for being who you are and helping humans communicate with their beloved pets and animals. It's just such a beautiful gift.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane. Thank you for having me on today.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There is one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.